turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Very familiar passage of Scripture, one that we've preached from many times, a subject that we've addressed many times, and it's one of those subjects that when and if it sinks in to church members, it will cause them to view their church membership in a different light, and that is the church as a body of Christ. And I'm not going to read these verses tonight, but verses 12 through 28 speaks of the church as a body of Christ. We see that Paul uses the metaphor body 18 times in these verses, comparing the church to a human body. And he used it again in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. Again in Ephesians 4, verse 12, also verse 16. Used it again in Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, and Colossians chapter 2, and verse 19. It's the most common used analogy of the church, and that is as a body of Christ. When we speak of a body of Christ, of course, we're speaking of each one of the Lord's churches in their particular location is a body of Christ. We want to consider tonight the church and the analogy of a body. We see, first of all, that a human body, of course, is a creation of God. Not only a creation of God, but a creation miracle of God, and so it is with the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of the Lord's churches is a creation of God, made by God, prepared by God, is a creation miracle of God. When you speak of creation, you speak of that which has been prepared. You also speak of design. So the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, or all the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, are by design, by God's design. A body implies organization, so it is with the Lord's churches, implies a framework. It's really a systematic grouping of parts into something that's functional, and that's the New Testament Baptist Church. New Testament Baptist Church is an organization. It's a framework. Again, it's designed by God, and it's functional. And it functions best when, of course, it simply follows the direction of the Lord. So a body is not an accident. Whenever you see a human body, you know there's a creation has taken place, a design has taken place. It's not an accident. It's not something that just thrown together in some haphazard way. And so it is every time you see a New Testament Baptist church. It's not an accident. It's not something that's just been thrown together in a haphazard way. Now, no doubt there are organizations today that take the name of church, and certainly that's what they are, that they're just thrown together in some haphazard way. But when we talk about the Lord's churches, New Testament Baptist churches, they're not accidents, and they're not just thrown together without any purpose. They're put together, and they're put together in a very suitable order, and they're put together for a very definite purpose, just like a human body. And so we see what's true of the human body is true of the Lord's church as well. Notice in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, and verse 5, speaking of Christ here, "Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body hast thou prepared me." The human body of Jesus Christ while he walked this earth was prepared by God. And that is true of the body of Christ. That is true of each and every one of the Lord's churches. They are prepared by God. Again, if we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 18, very familiar verse. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, that is, every one of them that he has set, they are set in the body, as it hath pleased him. God sets each member in the body as it pleases him. He puts them in a particular place in that body as it pleases him. In verse 28, and God hath set some, not all, but God hath set some in the church. So those whom God adds, now no doubt, as we read in the book of Jude, some have crept in unawares, but there are those whom God has added, and they have been added for a definite purpose. They have been added for a definite reason. And those whom God adds are functional. So we see that a body is a miracle of God. A church is a miracle of God. The psalmist, referring to his own human body, in Psalm 139 and 14 said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And so it is of the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like a human body, are fearfully and wonderfully made. David, going on, speaking about his creation in verse 15 of Psalm 139, said, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret or in the womb from the eyes of man, and curiously or carefully wrought, embroidered. Carefully embroidered. David speaking of his own human body. That is also true of the Lord's churches. They are carefully put together by the Lord. That is why the Lord's churches do function. That is why they're able to function, is because the Lord has carefully put them together. There may be a blending of personalities that are different, but God carefully puts them together. And again, as long as they follow God's order, as long as they follow God's direction, that particular body will be functional. That particular body will be able to accomplish much. So we see the body, the human body, more importantly, the church has a body, is a creation of God. It is a creation miracle of God. It is a creation wonder of the Lord as well. We see that each member of the body, as we read through 1 Corinthians chapter 12, each member of the body is related, is connected, is united to the other members of the body. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4, notice two phrases in verse 16, every joint and every part. And that's descriptive of the most minute parts of the body. That includes the most minute parts of the body. Every joint, every part. Every single member that God has added has a purpose, has a specific place. However insignificant you may think you are, however insignificant others may think you are, every joint, every part has a job, has a function, has a purpose, has a place. That tells me that every joint and every part is important. Are they equally important? No. No. Is the members of your human body equally important? Of course not. I'd rather do without a finger than without an arm. My finger is not equally important as my arm. My toe is not equally as important as my arm. So we're not talking about equally important. And people will get off on this sometimes, and they will say every member is equal. Well, there's a sense in which that is true. You have an equal right, but the truth of the matter is that's not so. Each member has a place. Each member has a part. And each member must be content with whatever place that God has given us. Whatever place, whatever office that God has given us in the particular body in which He has placed us, we need to be content there. And we need to function there. My arm is here because God placed it here and not here. And my arm functions better when it's here than if it were coming out of the side of my head. And that's true in a body of Christ as well. You function best when you're where God has put you. And you will be the most glorifying and the most useful to the body when you stay in your place. And you do not try to get in a place that God has not put you. So it is important that we realize that God has placed us in the body. But it's also important that we realize where God has placed us in the body. What is my function in this body of Christ? Because if you're a member of this church, you do have a function. You do have a purpose. You do have a use. And you need to find out what that is. And then you need to be content to be in that place. And again, when each part of the body stays in its place. Again, my arm can do wonderful things when it's here. If it's sticking out of the bottom of my foot, it's not going to function very well. You know what's going to happen? It's going to get in the way. If my arm is sticking out of the side of my leg, it's going to get in the way. But as long as my arm stays here, everything works fine. And that's true in a church as well. We don't want to get in the way. As members of the body, we never want to get in the way. We never want to be a hindrance. We never want to be a cumbrance. And the way to avoid that is to stay in our place, to be in the place that God has put us. So each and every part must be content with its place. Each and every part must be in unison with the other parts, and when that is so, each part contributes in its own way to the health and to the good of the body. Notice again in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16, we see the whole body, and that's what we're interested in. We're interested in the whole body. Now, I realize that there are those who are on church rolls everywhere that are not in the body. God never added them. God never put them there. And they will prove to be a hindrance. But those whom God has placed, every part, every joint, we need to be concerned about the whole body. It's not good enough to say, well, most of the body is where it ought to be. I wouldn't be happy with that in my human body. And we should not be satisfied with that in the church body. Well, most of my body is where it's supposed to be. I want my whole body to be where it's supposed to be. And we ought to be interested in the whole body. But notice the whole body fitly. That means tightly and securely. Then notice that next word, joined. That means connected, linked together, united. It is joined together and compacted, which means it is knit together. It's intertwined. This is true of all the parts of the body. Then notice that next word, by. By. It's a primary preposition. It states the ground or the reason that something is done. It tells us how the whole body is compacted together. And the reason is, which every joint supplieth according. Every joint supplies according, or in accord with the effectual or the effective working of the measure in every part. That is, each one has a measure of the Holy Spirit given to them, and that is how they are able to function in the body. And when they do that, they maketh increase of the body. That is, they contribute to the health of the body. They contribute to the profit of the body and of the edifying of itself in love. So the reason that every part of the body must be tightly and securely united, connected, linked, knit together is so that each and every part can function properly. So that each and every part can function properly into the body. When that happens, it is to the good of the body. It is to the benefit of the body. Now, if a member of your human body suddenly becomes an enemy to your body, drastic measures have to be taken for the sake of your human body. That is also true in the Lord's church. If for some reason a part of the body begins to attack another part of the body, drastic measures have to be taken for the sake of the body. It's not in cruelty to the member that is attacking. It is for the sake of the rest of the body. Something has to be done. And that's true again in the church. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 25, that there should be no schism. That is, no division or separation or disharmony in the body. Our bodies have to work in unison. Again, as we've said many times before, if your left leg's going forward and your right leg's going backwards, you're not getting anywhere. Your legs have to work together. Your arms have to work together. The body has to work together. And if it doesn't work together, if it begins to work against, if several parts begin to work against one another, you're not going to get anywhere. And that's true also in the Lord's churches. Unless the members are working in unison, the body ceases to function like it's supposed to function. So each and every part has a place. Each and every part must be in unison. And each and every part must care for the other part. And if something is wrong with my left arm, then my right arm has to pick up some slack. Something's wrong with my right leg, then my left leg's going to have to make up some difference. That's also true in a church. If one part of the body is ailing for whatever reason, then the other part of the body has to step in and has to do even extra. So every part must work together, and every part must care for the other parts, and every part must help the other parts. The relation of the members. Also, each member has a relation to the head. Each one of the members of our human body has a relation with our head. We cannot live without our head. You can cut off your arm, you can cut off both arms. You can cut off both legs, and you can still function. You can still continue to live. But you cannot cut off your head and continue to live. It doesn't matter how much strength your arms have. You cut off your head, you're dead. It doesn't matter how much ability your legs have. You cut off your head, you're dead. And it doesn't matter in a church how much ability is in the church, how much talent is in the church. You remove the head, it's nothing. It's dead. It's useless. And Jesus Christ, of course, Colossians 1, verses 15 through 18, he's the head. He's the head. And the head is the highest part of the body. It's the most exalted part of the body. It's the most honorable part of the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, we see that there is mention of the foot. There is mention of the ear. There is mention of the eye. There is even mention of many members. But as a member of the Lord's church, you might be the ear. You might be the eye, or you might be the foot, or you might be the arm, or you might be one of many members. But whatever you are, you cannot take the place of the head. No matter how important one member to a church might be, they can never, ever take the place of a head. That includes pastors. A pastor cannot take the place of the head. Cannot happen. No member can take the place of the head. No group of members can take the place of a head. No family can take the place of a head. It happens all the time in the Lord's churches. Pastors begin to usurp their authority, and they begin to put themselves in the place of the head. And when that happens, unless the church takes some action, that church is going to die. Or a deacon board, or a group of members, or a group of men, or a certain family thinks all of a sudden that they're more important than anybody else, and we're going to decide how everything is done. And they begin to take the place of the head. That church is going to die unless something is done. So no matter where God has placed us, we never are equal to the head. We are never to put ourselves in the place of the head. And again, the head is indispensable. It's indispensable. This church, we wouldn't want to, but this church can do without any one of us. This church will continue. If I drop dead tonight, the church will continue. If Brother Larry, Brother Art, or whoever drops dead tonight, the church will continue on. Because the church is bigger than any member. But if you remove the head, it can't continue. You remove the head. You usurp the position of the head, Jesus Christ, and the church ceases to exist. Oh, they may carry on. They may still have worship services and all of that, but the church is dead. It's no longer recognized as a church. The head, of course, directs our bodies. Our brains are the telegraph room of the body. Signals are sent from our brains to our arms and our legs and our hands and our fingers. Our head controls our body. Jesus Christ rules his churches. Nobody else. And nothing else rules his churches. He rules his churches by the Word of God. So we receive, each member is to receive their direction from the head. And as long as each member of the body of Christ is receiving their direction from the head, things are going to go very smoothly. Things work. As long as everyone is receiving direction from the head, things work together very, very well. But if we start to hear voices and we start to follow other voices, then the body becomes confused and the body ceases to function like it ought to. The head also nourishes. If for some reason communication is stopped between my brain and my right arm, or my left arm, or my right leg, or my left leg, it doesn't matter. If communication is stopped, that particular member becomes paralyzed. That member becomes paralyzed in my body. And when communication breaks down between members of the body of Christ and the head, that member becomes paralyzed. That member becomes paralyzed in the body, and it can become useless to the body. It can become cumbersome to the body. So if for some reason one of us just decides we're not going to follow the direction of Jesus Christ, we become useless to this body. And we become cumbersome. In other words, we begin to get in the way. And if that continues on for some time, again, drastic measures for the sake of the body have to be taken. So if you're a member of this body of Christ, you have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to stay in communication with the head. You have a responsibility to stay in communication with Jesus Christ. And if you can't do that for yourself, then you ought to do it for the sake of the body of which you're a member. So it's important that we stay in communication. Now, if a member of my human body becomes paralyzed, it doesn't react. It doesn't respond. And I'm convinced today that there are members here and in all the Lord's churches that are paralyzed. They don't react. They do not respond to the voice of God, to the leadings of the Holy Spirit. And again, when that happens, people begin to be a hindrance. They begin to get in the way. So the important thing is that we stay in communication with the head. We know also that a body must have a location. If there is a human body, it has to be somewhere. You can't have a human body that's nowhere. It's got to be somewhere. It has to have a location. And every body of Christ has a location. It has to have a meeting place. Bodies also are dwelling places. It's where people live. Again, these bodies are the homes in which we live. They're the tabernacle in which we live. These bodies are not us. We are identified by our bodies. Someone will say, well, there's Jim Clark. Well, Jim Clark's in that body. That's not Jim Clark. He's in that body. So bodies are dwelling places. We are identified by our bodies. Body of Christ is a dwelling place of who? Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ ought to be identified by his bodies. That is, when people look at a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they ought to be able to say, there's Jesus Christ. Churches ought to be that closely identified with Jesus Christ. So churches are dwelling places, which means that we're to have a, since we're a body of Christ, that means we're to have a likeness to Christ. And I believe that the churches of Christ, the bodies of Christ, have a likeness to the human body of Christ. You think about the human body of Jesus Christ. The fleshly body of Jesus Christ was very humble and very unattractive in appearance to the Jews. Because the Jews, they were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for a king. And they were looking for someone to appear in a glorious, magnificent body. And when Christ appeared in an ordinary body of flesh, they didn't recognize him. Because that's not what they were looking for. You see, that's the way it is today with the mega churches and all of this. That's what folks are looking for. They want something that's large. They want something that's magnificent. And they see no beauty. They see no appeal in that which is normal. None whatsoever. Just like the Jews saw no appeal in the fleshly body of Christ. But within that fleshly body of Christ, though it appeared to just be a natural body, within that body of Christ dwelt the fullness of the Godhead. Dwelt the fullness of the Godhead. Within that body of Christ dwelt God himself. And yet, they did not see it. To unanointed eyes, all they saw was a fleshly body. People drive by Home Baptist Church or churches of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do they see? In the world's view, they see a small church. That's what they see. They see something that is really insignificant. We don't have crosses out there. We don't have a big statue of Jesus. We don't have a big picture of Jesus Christ. We're nothing. To the world, we're nothing. There's nothing attractive about us to the world. But it is the habitation of God. You see, things aren't always what they appear. Jesus Christ appeared to be just an ordinary man, but he was anything but an ordinary man. It is the place that God has deposited his truth. How many people drive by Home Baptist Church and know that is where God dwells? How many people know that? The only ones is probably you and I. Oh, that's a place where God's deposited his truth. They don't know that, nor do they care. They don't care anything about that. Well, there's the place where Jesus Christ receives glory. They can't see any of those things. You see, the body of Christ is unattractive to the world. Even the religious world, it's unattractive. But though Jesus Christ, read through the Gospels, and though Jesus Christ was unattractive to the world, He never compromised who he was to make himself more appealing to the world. He never did. And nor are the Lord's churches. We are never to compromise who we are to make ourselves more attractive to the world that doesn't even know what they're looking for. So we never compromise what we are. A church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care if we have
four members or six members.
If it's a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, they must never lose sight of what they are. A church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not compromise to make yourself more attractive or to make yourself fit in. I'm talking about churches with the world. We know also that the fleshly body of Christ was living. If you looked upon it, you could see that it was alive. It was active. And so a body of Christ, though it's unattractive to the world, and though it may not be doing what the world thinks it ought to do, the world ought to be able to see it is a living body, and it is an active body. And that's what Jesus Christ was. And that's what his churches ought to be. You see, wherever Jesus Christ went in his fleshly body, he went to do the work of the Lord. He went to do the Father's business. And we as a body of Christ, that's what we're here for. We're here to do the Father's business. We're not here to do the world's business. We're not here to do what the world thinks we should do. We're not here to do what the religious world thinks we ought to do. The religious world sometimes makes Baptists ashamed or makes them feel ashamed. Well, are you all doing such and such? Well, no, we're not. And you feel ashamed. Do the Father's business. Don't worry about what the religious world thinks you ought to do. Do the Father's business. That's what we're called upon to do as a body of Christ. Now, of course, the body of Christ, the fleshly body of Christ, was filled with the Holy Spirit. John chapter 3 and verse 34 says that the Spirit of God was given him without measure. He was filled with the Spirit of God. And so all bodies of Christ ought to be filled with the Spirit of God. The fleshly body of Christ was a manifestation of God. Everywhere he went, he declared God. Everywhere he went, he declared the truth. Did the world appreciate what he declared? No, they hated him for it. They picked up stones and tried to stone him. That's what we're to do. We're simply to manifest God. Not the God that the world has dreamed up in their minds, but we're to manifest God. And we're to declare the truth that the world does not want to hear. The world does not want to hear what God has to say. Doesn't want to hear it. Doesn't like to hear it. But that's what we're here for as a body of Christ. In closing, when Christ dwelt upon this body, dwelt upon this earth in a human body, there were people who sought to destroy him. Almost everywhere he went, there were people who sought to destroy that body. Some of them even claimed to be his friends. Read John chapter 8. They claim to be saved. As you read that chapter, you find out they weren't saved at all. Jesus said, "You're of your father, the devil." And they took up stones to stone him because he made himself equal with God. There will always be people who want to destroy the bodies of Christ. And some of them will declare to know the Lord. In fact, in my years, I have not run across a whole lot of folks, lost people, that I've had to defend the church against. It's mostly those who profess to be saved. They claim to be friends, and yet they seek to destroy the body of Christ. Now, if one of these gets in, then again, drastic measures must be taken. There were those who were always trying to find fault with Christ. No, it didn't matter what Christ taught. They were going to find fault with it. If he healed a lame man and it was on the Sabbath day, they found fault with it. If he healed a blind man on a Sabbath day, they found fault with it. They were always finding fault. But they were Pharisees. They were lost. And who is it today that is always finding fault? Doesn't matter what the church does. They always find fault. The Pharisees. It's still the Pharisees. The Pharisees aren't dead. They're alive and well today. And churches are filled with them. And they're easily identified because they have the same traits that the Pharisees had in the New Testament. And one of those traits was they always find fault. They always find what's wrong. There will always be those who seek to destroy. There will always be those who seek to find fault. There were those who sought to kill Christ on more than one occasion. But we see that no man could lay hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. God was in control. That's true today also. If it were up to our government, if it were up to the world today, you and I would not be meeting here tonight. We would not even be in existence. But you see, they don't have any control over that. Oh, I know they think they do. But no man could lay hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And there will always be those who seek to kill the Lord's churches. But then there were others. There were others who cared deeply for that fleshly body of Christ. You think of the women at the cross. You think of the women who went to the tomb. You think of the apostles. You think of those who gave Christ water and food. Individuals who cared deeply and sought to refresh that body and sought to bring comfort to that body and sought to relieve that body in whatever way they could. That's where you and I ought to come in. We ought to seek, we ought to care deeply for the body of Christ. We ought to care deeply enough that we're not going to do anything that would harm, that would bring disrepute to the body of Jesus Christ. We care deeply for the body of Christ, and we seek to refresh that body. We never desire to bring that body down in any way. When we come into the house of God, there are many who need to learn to behave themselves in the house of God, as Paul wrote to Timothy. Our behavior should not be that which in any way pulls down to any degree the body of Christ. Our demeanor should not pull down the body of Christ. We come and it ought to be to seek to comfort and to relieve and to exalt body, to exalt Jesus Christ. So, oh, how thankful we ought to be that the Lord, I am so grateful to be saved. And I am so thankful that God, He saved me by His grace, and by His grace, He put me in one of His bodies. It's all by grace. It's all by the grace of God. I wasn't saved by anything that I did. And I wasn't put in a body of Christ because of any merit in myself whatsoever. It's strictly by the grace of God. And I believe that those whom God puts in His churches, they will be faithful. They will be the faithful members. They will be the ones who are strong. They will be the ones who care deeply for the body of Christ. There are others We're not 100% sure, but we have suspicions that the Lord never added. Those suspicions are based upon things that we read in the Word of God that matches up with their character and their practices. We pray for them also. We also keep an eye open, because eventually they're going to become a hindrance. They're going to become a cumbrance to the body. When that happens, action must be taken for the sake of the body and for the honor and for the glory of Jesus Christ. Brother Tim, if you'd come and